Vote Ken Laban, vote Ken Laban. I think I was that you calling the Otago game against Canterbury for the Ranfurly Shield, Ken Laban?
Kia ora, bro. It was indeed.
Mate.
Pick of a finish.
You were ripping up the... you might have had to... I thought your microphone was going to blow up, but in a neat way. In a neat way, Ken. You do a great job with commentary. And, of course, with the Mayoralty run. Life's keeping you busy at the moment, mate.
Yeah, it is. Well, always, those of us that do the MVC, which is essentially a August, September, October competition, it's a very busy part of the year. Now we do the Farapama Cup games are live as well. So we have very, very busy weekends with the 7 NPC games and I think 6 Farapama Cup games. That's 13 live broadcasts. And, of course, the Warriors were still playing at some point, plus the netball test on the weekend as well. So for all our broadcast crews, as you well know, it's been a very busy few weeks. And every year it coincides with the local body elections. It was a terrific win for Otago, who had to come from behind. And at one stage they were down by plenty in the first half. So it was a real show of commitment and character from the boys from the Deep South. And for those that were watching the coverage at full time, we all once again saw the spiritual value, I suppose, would be the best way to describe it. Just the sheer emotion and elation in the players having won the Shield. And I was with them at the airport yesterday morning as well. And they were in full spirit. So, you know, good on the people of Dunedin to get a chance to have the Shield floating around the city and going around the schools and the marae and the critters over the next little while, or for as long as they hold on to it. So I think it was fantastic. And also, of course, it was an enormous upset as well, with Canterbury going into the game unbeaten from 7 starts.
Yeah, for sure. The old Lock of Woods still has some significant meaning. And, you know, as a guy who obviously doesn't watch as much rugby as other people, there's a down-home nature to the NPC that makes it quite appealing, doesn't it? Now, to be honest, mate, I quite like the Heartland stuff too, when you've got your Bulla West Coast rock and rolling against Mid-Canterbury and, you know, that down-home sort of rugby. I think the NPC connects with Kiwi sports fans in ways that the international arena misses, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's worth it. It's a good point you make, Dale. Like some of those, the original provincial members of the New Zealand Rugby Union, you know, like Taranaki, Canterbury, Auckland, Wellington, Otago, you know, their year of inception goes back to the 1800s. And the Ranfurly Shield, I think, was gifted by the Earl of Ranfurly, who was the Governor General of New Zealand back in 1901. So there are intergenerational connections. Well, it's whakapapa. It's absolutely whakapapa that has played out with, on this occasion, sport used as its vehicle to keep it relevant for us. And, you know, even Otago's win over Canterbury, it's the first time that Otago's beaten Canterbury for the Ranfurly Shield since 1948. So, you know, a lot of our viewers of today, they would have had parents and grandparents that were around in that era as well. And I think that's the beauty of the NPC and of the Heartlands Championship, and something I think that by comparison or contrast, should I say, Super Rugby has struggled with, in my view, because, you know, that's only 30 years old. It's just a mere puppy by comparison to some of those provinces that have been part of the New Zealand Rugby Union since the 1800s.
Yeah, tēnā koe. Well, congratulations to Otago. I did see some footage of Southland taking the Log of Wood home, but it only lasted there a week. Let's hope Otago are able to hold on to it a little longer. Big win for them, 38-36. High quality, entertaining game right to the very end. It's called magnificently by our guest, Ken Laban. Also, I see that Northland had a win. I watched a bit of that, Northland against North Harbour. And gee, the forward work in the latter stages of that game was just phenomenal, really. The Rush boys were into it and, big stuff. Lots going on in sport over the weekend as well, of course. We've got the Nolene situation, replaced there by a vet with success, I see, over South Africa. The amazing football that's came out of the NRL final series, and I guess yesterday's first half performance by the reigning premiers was as good as you'll get anywhere. It was quite magnificent. We might just briefly touch on the NRL for a moment, please. Kenny, what did you make of the two finals you witnessed this weekend?
Well, the spotlight well and truly is going to be on Cameron Serraldo and Phil Gould for the entire off-season, beginning at full-time in the game yesterday. The Bulldogs, let's remember, they were a team after round 14, were leading the competition, and they successfully made it through to the top four to give them an opportunity to challenge. And basically, after challenging, getting the extra life, they were knocked out essentially in straight sets at the end of the regular season. And they tinkered with their playing lineup. They got rid of the hooker Reed Marnie. They brought in Lachie Galvin from which was an enormous story. And they thought that getting rid of Reed Marnie would make them better around the ruck. And they thought that bringing in a talent like Lachie Galvin, who has yet to play a full season in the NRL, in spite of his undeniable potential, should I say, they weren't anywhere near the side they were in the first 14 rounds of the competition. So it looks, you know, I think the narrative is going to be that Cameron Serraldo and Phil Gould tried to fix something that wasn't broken. And as a result, they tipped out of the finals when many people thought at round 14 and after that they were seriously a contender to win the NRL. So they will go back to the drawing board. And as you quite rightly point out, that Penrith team, with, you know, you could argue not as many big names in their team this year as there were last year. The game essentially as a contest was over at the end of the first half with a massive lead. And astonishingly, at that level of football, for the Panthers to complete 20 sets from 20 positions is amazing. And once again, you know, Nathan Cleary, Ivan Cleary, and even, you know, I just saw some highlights before that kick into the in goal from Brian To'o, which allowed Isaiah Papali'i to score a try under the post as well. Just an indication of how well connected they are and how ready they are to go at this time of the year. And for the first time in the history of the NRL, I believe anyway, that if there's any team capable of winning the NRL from outside the top four, it's going to be the Panthers. And I thought we saw an indication of that last week. Of course, a massive advantage has been handed to the Broncos and Storm, having had the week off with their feet up on the couch, that they're going to be formidable opponents this week, in spite of how well the other teams have gone. The Sharks, who are tremendous against the Raiders, when it really matters, and of course the Panthers coming through after both having to play this weekend.
Fantastic. Look, normally I'd be pretty dark on a team that's won four championships, but I'm so impressed with Ivan Cleary that I almost you know, hoping for success after the dusty start to the season. He's been able to again just, you know, almost caress his troops so that they're peaking at the right time of the year. It's been an amazing coaching effort by Ivan Cleary. And again, I guess his appeal to me comes with his consistent demeanour. He tends not to raise his voice in public. They have shots of him in the box. And again, he's just very consistent. And a lot of Polynesian players, Ken, they warm to that. So you're not erratic in the style that you deal with them and the personality that you carry into your work. What would you say about the cool calmness of Cleary, but also his deft ability to identify how to get the best out of his charges?
Yeah, well, firstly, in terms of Ivan Cleary, I think a lot of his genius is in their recruitment and in their pathways programs. And if you look closely at the number of players they have left that have left the club over the tenure of their four premierships, that's an incredibly talented group of players. And even this year, losing James Fisher-Harris, who was regarded by many as in the top group of three or four props in the competition for the last 5 years, and losing Jerome Luai especially, who was a great foil for Nathan Cleary to take a lot of pressure off him, and the incredible recruitment of Blaze Talangi, who would have thought that he would have provided the role and the effort that he has done, and the Panthers themselves, so brutal they were around the ruck. You don't complete 20 sets of six unless you can consistently win the middle on every set. And they were so good. They were so tough. They all carry the ball square off the dummy half, dominate the middle, fall on their front, play the ball quick. And they waited out and waited out. And, you know, Nathan makes the big key positions when decisions, should I say, when they get key field positions. So it's an incredible formula. Very, very smart group of players. Like a number of those players who are, you know, they are state of origin and international players. Dale, you wouldn't even think they ever played for Penrith, watching Penrith play yesterday. Yet they've lost an incredible amount of talented players. You look at Burton playing for the Bulldogs, Kikau playing for the Bulldogs, Skorosai playing for the Tigers, along with Jerome, and of course James Fisher-Harris, I've already touched on as well. Such a fabulous group that all came through the Pathways program at the Panthers.
Always need having a cordial with you, Chief. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Vote Ken Laban, soon to be Hutt Valley Mayor. All the best, Ken. We'll talk again next week. Mauri ora.
Ngā mihi.
Ngā mihi.